Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
If you are trying to find someone least like Paul, he's here. If we're going on the range of people who are like Paul and who isn't like Paul, you found me. I am Del Olaleye. Sean Mapes, who is the producer for the Paul Gallant Show, did a promo, and he's not up on the fact that I've allowed people to mispronounce my last name for years. So in the promo, he said it like everyone has said it. I'm not correcting anyone because, hey, I let it go on for over a decade. So if you want to call me Olale is my last name, that's fine. But the proper Yoruba Nigerian way of saying it is Olaleye. So I'm here. I'm not pushing that. You guys can say what you like. You said worse things to me than mispronouncing my last name, but it's fine. I'm not Paul. I don't know where Paul is. I'll be in for Paul today and tomorrow, and then Lance is lazy. He's going to be out, so I guess I have to fill in for him, and then I'll be back in the slot later next week. But that's for next week. That's all logistics. Del Olaleye here with Sean Mapes. And Sean's got a real I'm coming in to substitute in the 70th minute of a World Cup game vibe. He's got the hair with the bun. You look like Graham Zuzi. I don't know how many people know who that is, but you look like Graham Zuzi circa 2014.
Looking to be a super sub. You know? I get to tell my kids I played in the World Cup.
Do those set pieces.
I won't say that it was only 8 minutes after already down 3-0.
Hey, Graham Zuzi delivered a corner kick that resulted in a goal that helped the U.S. beat Ghana in like 2014. So
there we go.
So hey, take it. I think it's 2014. Yeah, they didn't make it in 18. Yeah, so hey, Graham Zuzi's fine. Had a really good career in MLS, but you got the vibe going on. And I'll continue to describe Sean, I guess, throughout the show whenever I feel like it. Sean will play a major part in the show because he is the Texas guy that's on this show, because I don't care about Texas football that much, but I know with them eventually joining the SEC, but in the Big 12 and Big 12 media days were this past week. So we'll talk a little bit about Texas in the second hour of the show. But I'm here just back from a vacation. Paul's on vacation. I don't know if he announced where he is or he kept that a secret. John and Lance are no help. They don't know who he is, but they don't pay attention to the rest of the station anyway. So that doesn't mean he didn't tell anyone. There's a lack of interest from them and the rest of the station that is beyond what you might think. Those guys clock in. Or don't even clock in. We don't do that. That's a really old term. They get in, they do the show, and they're out. If you ask them what happened, other than maybe Jeremy Branham saying something that upsets John, they don't know what happens on the station.
It has to be tweeted out in a video where it comes across their timeline. They're like, what? That's what these guys are up to?
Yeah. There is
and then they rip them.
There's no chance they hear anything live.
No, they're not. You know, I was just driving around, heard what Cody had to say, but nope, that doesn't happen.
Nah, it has to get tweeted back at them by some snitch, and then it becomes an issue on their show, and they're taking shots at the rest of the station. But they don't know where Paul is. I don't know where Paul is. I gave my thought that he was probably trying out a secret tryout for the Ringer because he fits the profile of what a Ringer personality would be. Loves Boston, looks a certain way. I feel like he would fit in with the Ringer. I don't know where Paul is. Did he tell you where he was going?
He did not share on air, so I don't feel comfortable sharing the personal details that I know.
Okay, good. So that allows us to recklessly speculate.
I'll allow for reckless speculation. To protect Paul, I'll allow everyone to assume the worst.
Yes, good. I don't want to know because it's less fun if I know where he actually is. So if you want to call Sean and try to bribe him into telling you where Paul is, that's great. Or if you're like me, you don't care where Paul is, that's great too. That's kind of how we'll operate. So Paul's on vacation. I just came back from vacation. I spent time in Ormond Beach with the family, saw my mom and the rest. So many hugs because I'm the cousin who's never around, so everyone wants to give me a hug. And I'm not a fan of, like, obligatory human contact, but you let it go because that's your family. That wasn't the interesting part because, hey, everyone has a family. Everyone hangs out with them at certain times. You get together, you have a barbecue, all that good stuff. It was the flight back from Daytona. Actually, Ormond Beach doesn't have an airport, as you might imagine, so I had to fly out of Orlando. So I go to Orlando, easy trip, drive there, and I get on the flight. I did one of those Southwest got to get away flights, so it's not, you don't pick your seat. It was a rush job. So also there was a connecting flight to Louisville and then to Houston. So on the first leg, you know, I'm on the last boarding position, so I'm going to get a center seat. I know this. I've accepted it. That's not the problem. You can't complain if you book your flight that way and you're in the boarding seat position. But when I get to my seat, I go, yeah, this ain't going to go great because I've got a super spreader sitting down. And by super spreader, I don't mean someone who has COVID. I mean someone who likes to man spread, who's going to open those legs wide. And this is not a small guy. Look, he was sitting down, so I can't really judge him. But he had a belly big enough to rest his hand and his beer on it when they started serving Miller Lights. So he was a big dude, and he did not care about personal space. He had the shorts on, the khaki shorts on, and his legs were wide, and he did not care that we were going to have some leg contact. And there's a certain amount of leg contact you're going to take because that's just what it is when you're in center seat. But he had his elbows on the armrest, wide arms, legs out, and I'm not a small person, but in comparison, I was little, and I had my feet really close together because I didn't want his leg hairs touching my leg hairs because we were both wearing shorts. That was my first mistake. It's hot in Ormond. It's hot in Florida at this time of year. Not nearly as hot as it is here. I'll get to that a little bit later when I got off my Houston flight. But the leg hairs were touching. I didn't want any part of it. And this is a guy who was ogling the steward or the flight attendant too. It was all the things.
just really the no redeeming qualities here.
He was leaning in. And if he turned to his left, I was going to smell Miller Lite breath. It was all the things you don't want as the center seat person. And I got him. It was a group of nine of them. They were all going to Louisville for, like, I guess they called it the Bourbon Trail. They're all going to try their bourbon for a guy's 40th birthday. They had an announcement on the plane. They got the steward. Stewardesses. Flight attendants to announce his birthday. Got a little clap. But this guy was special. Super spreader. Loved the leg contact. Didn't mind if our leg hairs intermingled. And I thought to myself, this is at least the fifth circle of hell. I'm not sure what it has to be. Particularly for me, it was my own personal fifth circle of hell. And then the connecting flight to Houston, a little different. I got to meet aspiring SoundCloud rapper. He came, because the plane didn't switch, I got to pick my seat. So I sat in the window, and he gets on, and he's like, and he comes on rapping. Like, he comes on reading lyrics from his phone. You can see on his phone he has sound files that he's rapping to. And I'm like, okay, guy, younger dude, probably in his early 20s. So, okay, guy wants to do something, and that's what he wants to do. That's fine. I had my earbuds in, but I could still hear him. And didn't really bother me. I was listening to my email music, so it didn't bother me really. But while I was trying to sleep, what he did, he kept tapping me because he wanted to look out the window. And I'm like, we're 38,000 feet in the air. What could you possibly want to see? You can't see anything. And now, I don't fly a lot, but I've flown enough where it's not a thing for me anymore. The magic of flying is not a thing.
the wonder of flight, you're like, yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah.
It's the sky, buddy.
I've been flying alone since I was 8 years old. It's not a big deal to me anymore. My parents put me on a flight to Florida when I was 8, and that was back when the pilot would come out and give you wings and stuff. That's how long I've been flying by myself. It wasn't a big deal. But he, apparently, I don't know how many flights he had taken, but he really wanted to see out that window. So he tapped me a couple times, you know. You don't want to be rude in the plane because you got to sit next to this person for 2 hours. So, like, I open up the window a couple times, and I'm like, all right, you see the clouds? We good here? And then he just does it again. 30 minutes later, he wants to look out again. I'm like, all right, man, I lift it up.
He's just an artist trying to get inspired.
And I got to think to myself, you know what? Maybe he hasn't taken a lot of flights. Now everyone has flown as much as you. Maybe it's the wonder of flight. So he looks out again. And then he taps me one more time with about 20 minutes to go. And I'm like, okay, you can actually see something. We're about to land. So I lift it up and I let him just look out the window. He goes, hey, you mind if I film a video? And at this point, I'm like, all right, man. So I lean. So I'm at the window seat. So I have to lean back and he points his phone at the window and films for like 25 to 30 seconds. And I'm like straining to stay out of his way so he can get his shot. I'm sure it'll go on social media and it'll be the brim of my hat in the shot. But I get back and to culminate all of that, you know, Florida's warm at this time of the year. And I don't curse around my family. It's just not something I was raised to do. I don't do it. And it was mostly family and like people at restaurants. So it's not a lot of time for me to curse. So I walk out to the shuttle to take me to my car. And as soon as I walk out, like initially when you walk out of air conditioning into the summer heat, you're like, okay, I'll adjust. Like that's what was happening in Florida. It'd be warm, but I would adjust. Okay, it's a little warm, but that's fine. I was walking and I never adjusted because it was like 98. And I audibly said, F this place. Those were my first curse words in a week. I said, F this place. And I know I said it because my lips moved. I didn't say it loud enough for people to hear me. But the first sentence stepping on Houston soil was, F this place. Because it's so hot. I forgot. A weekend, I forgot. Like I said, Ormond Beach in Florida is not Seattle in springtime. But it wasn't this. And I was like, F this place. But now I'm adjusted. It's been a day. I'm adjusted. We're good to go. And that's how my flights went. It was fine. I mean, I just appreciate it. Super Spreader and SoundCloud rapper disrupting my middle seat experiences.
To be fair, every time after the show, I normally get back to my car. It's normally like 1 o'clock, maybe 2 o'clock. I say the same thing. Right when I get in my car, I'm like, F this place.
It took a week and I forgot. I forgot what I was coming into. I thought, you know, it's warm. Warm in Florida. We'll be good. Nah, we're not good. And everyone's going to experience that until maybe mid-September. So we'll be okay. And that'll wrap up my personal experiences from my vacation. But we'll get into some actual sports. The Astros are back after their All-Star break. Angels, Astros, we'll talk about that. We'll get into the Rockets and their summer league now that they pulled everyone back but Cam Whitmore. So he's having a pretty good couple of days now that he's the star of the show. We got plenty to discuss. We'll discuss why the Austin Reaves hype has gone a little too far when now he's apparently the star of the FIBA World Cup team. Calm down, everyone. He had one good playoff run. Relax. We'll talk about that and more. Del Olalea filling in for Paul Gallant. Sean Mates with me as well. The Paul Gallant Show. We'll be back.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I am not Paul Gallant. There was supposed to be branding, but some logistical issues caused it to not happen. So I have to explain, if you couldn't tell, that I'm not Paul, at least for the first couple segments. I don't think I'm going to do it the entire show, but Paul is on vacation someplace. Someone said he left for a Viking funeral. Paul ain't got that in him. Paul ain't like that.
He's not bred to for the Viking life.
No, he'd be one of those kids they threw off the cliff. You know how you see all the skulls at the bottom of babies who weren't tough enough? They'd throw Paul off a cliff immediately. He's not bred for a Viking funeral. Forget about it. He wouldn't go out in the woods and like kill a wolf to prove his manliness. No chance. He loves his floral shirts too much to be a guy who does that. There's not a chance.
He'd try. He'd be the little engine that could, the little Viking that could.
Yeah, for a little bit. But the Vikings don't give. There's no give in the Vikings. So
yeah,
all that humor. Hey, I'm the funny. No, Paul, you better go kill that wolf or don't come back at all.
You know what we think's funny? Killing people.
Yeah, we laugh at that. Pillaging is what we laugh at. So no, I don't think Paul's at a Viking funeral. But who knows? Alex chimes in as a man. You have to wear pants on a flight. No, nobody wants to feel a grown man's leg hair. Yeah, I made a mistake. Yeah, I could have worn sweats, but I was like, you know, it's warm. Although I was going to be on a plane for most of it and in an airport. Yeah, it was a mistake on my part. But the leg hair intermingling was a sign that I had picked the wrong seat. There were a couple of others I could have chosen, but I said, you know what? I'm tired of floating to the back. And yeah, I chose wrong. I mentioned before we went to the break, I just update you on the Astros. Not a lot to talk about. The All-Star break is over. They'll get back in action today. against the Angels in Los Angeles, in Anaheim, LA Angels of Anaheim, or whatever the hell that ridiculous name is for their team. In Anaheim, J.P. France goes tonight against Ohtani. You've got Fromber and Christian Javier going as well this weekend as the Astros exit the All-Star break down to the Rangers. And I talked about it a little bit jokingly when Lance saw me walk past the open door and called me in. I didn't want to talk to him, but he pulled me in. I guess he felt alone with John. Where's John? Green Bay?
I don't know. Yeah. Chicago, maybe?
Yeah, you don't pay attention to the rest of the station either. Hey, you're just like them.
No, I hear the first time he did a remote show this week, I honestly, in the car, thought he was in studio. His setup's very nice, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's actually.
Yeah, I listened to it, and you didn't hear that the crackling of him popping his pee, so someone got him right, so he's not over-modulating. But he's somewhere. I guess he'll be back on Monday. I'm not sure. I know Lance will be out part of the week, and I'm filling in for him. But the Astros get back from the All-Star break down to – and I joked about it when I was on with those guys. Is it good to feel a little fear? Because – it's been easy sailing for the Astros, particularly in this division, for a while now, where it hasn't really mattered. It was all about the postseason. Does it make you feel alive that the Astros actually had to fight for this division? I was the one talking to these guys when I was filling in throughout. Stop worrying. They'll be fine. I still think they'll be fine. They're only two games back. But the Rangers aren't going to last. They're gonna overtake them. I thought even before the All-Star break, and they have not done that. Injuries have gotten in the way, particularly with the pitching staff, and certainly some players have underperformed. But I would be the worst. Like, they talk about the hangover after winning a championship and how it could affect the team. I've never obviously played at this level where a championship mattered so much, or a championship happened, and I was like, whatever, we'll float through the year. But I'm a fan. As a fan, I'm like that. I'm like, hey, we won a title. What? I'm not worrying about anything. It doesn't matter that this guy's hurt or this guy isn't hitting well. We won a title. What are we worried about? So I'm interested to know if people now are like, okay, this is serious, or were you like that from the beginning? You can call in. I think the phones work now. 713-780-3776. If now that the All-Star break is come and gone and you're still behind the Rangers, are you breathing? You're probably not breathing a little heavy because you're just sitting there watching the game. But are you a little nervous that this team isn't going to overtake it, or this is going to be a thing that stretches into August, September? I'm still of the opinion the Astros are fine. They'll find a way. I'm not sure they're a title team as they're constructed right now, considering their injuries. But I think they'll find a way to beat the Rangers. They take 3 out of 4 from them in their last series in Arlington. Sean, where are you? Did you enter the year worried or confident in this team and not really caring so much about the regular season, just assuming things would go well? And now are you at a point where, okay, hey, guys, time to turn it on?
I think going into the year, I definitely was the most entitled Astros fan of like, they win 105 games. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, the Rafael Montero contract looks like a lot, whatever. Things just work out for this team. And considering all the injuries that they've had in the first 91 games of the season, that they – are in this position where they're only two games back, that is a little bit of like, things just kind of work out for the Astros, where they pull up some Blancos, some Ronel Blancos, some Brandon Belak, some Ty Francis, and now they have a rotation again. Like, there is some level of, I don't know, like, I don't want to say luck, like you feel lucky, but how well the Rangers started and how injured the Astros have been to only be a two-game gap at the All-Star break, that is something that you can hang your hat on, I feel like.
Yeah, the Rangers are giving me real pace car energy, or the person who sets the pace in a marathon. Like, okay, you've jumped out there, but we all kind of know the deal. I think taking 3 out of 4 from them in Arlington really, really kind of set the stage for what could be something where the Astros take over by mid-August and kind of start pulling away. But they have to go out there and do that. They have to try to stay healthy, and we'll see what is done at the All-Star break, not the All-Star break, but before the trade deadline, to try to fortify this team. Certainly, a healthy starting pitching would change things. Urquidy and Alvarez will do rehab assignments at Sugarland. And I was on vacation, and I got a text from Joe out of the blue. Shout out to Joe George, who asked me to fill in for Lance next week before Lance did, because Joe's on his game. He texted me, hey, man, ESPN has a has a Skeeter Snyder. I forgot how he phrased it, but would you like a ticket? I'm like, yeah. And I would like Arcadian Alvarez to be back soon, but if I get to watch them play in Sugarland,
yeah,
that'd be pretty nice. So if you don't like going to Minute Maid or it's a little bit too expensive, go out to see the I call them the Skeeters. They're not the Skeeters. What are they called now?
Space Cowboys.
Space Cowboys.
You can also listen to them on ESPN 92.5.
I don't pay attention to the station. The I'm another one who doesn't pay attention. hey, I've had a reason. Haven't been around.
Yeah, no, that makes, you get the excuse.
Yeah,
I have less of an excuse.
Yeah.
I think John and Lance have a pretty good – I mean, it's more – it's not they have a good excuse. It's just like who's going to check them kind of thing.
Yeah, there's no one going to check them. I was not an official employee until today. That's some news.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I had been an independent contractor, I guess you want to call me that, but now I'm back as an employee, and that will get – you'll get more information on that later. But I'm not just here for my health on a Friday filling in for Paul. I'm now just back –
the love of the game.
Yeah, definitely. The love of the radio, part-time radio game.
Yeah.
I'm now back as an official employee. More information will come out about that, but that's my little announcement. I should have used the Notes app and wrote a long tweet about it like I'm a college recruit.
Please respect my decision.
Respect my decision to come back full time. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, he texts me and goes, "Hey, you want we have an ESPN night for the Space Cowboys?" I was like, "Yeah, I want to watch." And it might be a thing where we see. I don't know their schedule. I have to look. But if Yordan and Arcidi are finishing out their rehab assignments, awesome.
Yeah, how it. Because I think it's I should know when ESPN 97 night is on in the, for the Space Cowboys, but I think it is not next Friday, but like the Friday after. So that still is in the range of like when these guys are going to be in the rehab assignment. So we do have a chance to get supremely lucky, where it's Yordan Alvarez and all the stars that you love from ESPN 97.5 in the same place.
Is that the billing the Space Cowboys are going to sell it as? Hey, all those people you love might show up, but Yordan will be here. So come out and watch the Space Cowboys.
Wait, John Granato and Lance Zierlein are going to show up? Well, you know, it's kind of a far drive for them. You know, maybe they show up, maybe they don't. But Sean will be there.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. The text is, how are we doing on? Hey, we're doing an ESPN night Space Cowboys game on the 21st, so that's next Friday.
Oh, that is next Friday.
So that's okay. Well in the range of when those guys will still be in Sugarland, so that'll be awesome. We might get to see Yordan. The likelihood of getting lucky enough for Arcidi to making a start there is probably not high, but Yordan might be in the lineup, and that'd be pretty cool. So those guys, rehab assignment in Sugarland, go out and watch them. If Minute Maid's too expensive or you just don't like making a drive into the city, and if you're out in the Sugarland area, you could see couple of your Astro stars getting back into gear as the Astros try to make a push. I got to get used to Graham Zuzzi in my ear telling me to go to break. Sean tells me we got to go to break, so we got to break. I see the call. We'll get to you on the other side if you hang on. We got plenty to talk about. And Sean's going to tell us at the top of the 11 o'clock hour the four most important people for Texas football, not named Sarkisian, Worthy, or Ewers. I didn't want to give him the easy ones. So Texas football, big year for Sarkisian. Good recruiting class. We'll see how that plays out for them. And Sean will tell you who you should be looking out for Texas football, top of the hour. But we'll be back on the other side on the Paul Gallant Show with No Paul.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
That's the number. If you want to call in, that was Spencer. I'm not Paul. If you want to tweet the show, at Sean A. Mapes, that's M-A-P-E-S. And I guess I should explain which way to spell Sean, S-E-A-N as opposed to Mapes. That's probably more in question. Sean, S-E-A-N-A, Mapes is who you tweet at if you want to talk to Sean. And I'm at Dell, D-E-L-V-2, if you want to tweet the show. But Eric did call in on that number. Eric wants to talk about the Astros. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Do you think the Astros would trade for another big bat or starting pitcher? And with the guy that was in these two, was he a white guy? And do you think global warming is caused by man? And is Michael Hasso getting thicker and curvier?
I didn't hear the last part. Who did he ask about? Which TV newswoman does he want me to objectify?
I have no idea.
Eric, are you still around? He's still on me. I didn't hear.
Yes, Micah Hatfield from Channel 13.
I don't watch TV news like that. And also, that's John's wife works there, and that's one of her employees. I'm not going to make that comment. I don't objectify women in that way. I do that in the privacy of my own home, Eric. But I will answer the other questions. The global warming, I think, is a combination of a lot of things, and certainly man has a giant contribution to that. I'm not going to deny climate change. And you asked if the Astros should acquire a bat and a starting pitcher. I think they should get both. If the health of Urquidy is going to be in question, go get yourself a starter. If you're looking to make a real run, and if the cost is too much, okay, maybe it's not your year. It doesn't have to be your year every year. I think I'm in the Lance Zierlein side of things. I'm not giving it all up for a mid starting pitcher just because you've had injuries. Sometimes it doesn't go your way. But sure, if you can get it at an affordable price, go right ahead. And certainly the hitting has been an issue, but that's still the same. I'm not depleting the farm system what it is right now, because to give yourself a shot, just a shot. If you think it's all going to come together and that's something they have to judge and be a real title contender, then sure. Particularly if you go on a run in mid July and late in August and go, okay, we've just ripped off like 17 out of 22 and we look like the team we were the last couple seasons, then sure, take that bet. But I'm not going all in on this year with all the issues they've had. We got John. I don't know what John wants to talk about, but John is calling in and the phones are working, so that's good. What's up, John? No, John. Well, John, we'll put you on hold.
Hello?
Oh, there he is. What's up, John?
Hey, Dale. What's up, man? I'm a huge fan. Shout out to my boy, Sean. Shout out, Dale. I just want to say real quick, bro, you did a good job when you did the audition replacing the Trench. You did a good job, and I just want to say, keep doing your thing, man. I just want to know what your predictions are, who's winning the World Series this year. Appreciate it.
Ooh, I'm certainly baseball guy in this segment. Who's winning the World Series this year?
Yeah, baseball Dell, Seamhead Dell.
John, I appreciate all the kind words, but apparently you haven't listened to me very much because you're asking me about baseball stuff, and I am out of my depth. Who's going to win? The Astros. Despite what I said about not going all in, the Astros will win. Actually, John, I would have to give you a more serious opinion once I start to look. I'll be honest with you. I haven't had to do this every day for months now, so I've not been locking in on baseball. So it'd be unfair to me to just throw out a name and go, yeah, this team's going to win the World Series.
It's not up to your normal standard of takesmanship. No, the amount of study that goes.
No, you want a hot take from me. I know I should just throw something out there, but I haven't really studied anything. I've been too busy watching Apple TV and Prime and Netflix. So it would be unfair of me to pull out a name and have no basis of knowledge behind it. Like I said, I'm back full time. That'll be talked about more later. Give me a couple weeks, and I'll be able to answer more baseball stuff for you as far as who's going to win the World Series. If you want to talk about spicy chicken sandwiches and how good The Witcher was, the first part, second part comes out in July, I can answer those questions. But the other stuff, give me a little bit.
Astros, you're still on your own rehab assignment right now.
Yeah,
I'm working through some kinks.
Yeah, they really should have sent me to Sugarland to do a couple.
Well, they are next week.
to do a couple test shows and get me back in the swing of things. But I appreciate all the kind words, John. And look, who's going to win the World Series? I don't know. Well, let's wait for the trade deadline. Let's see who acquires who before we make a real determination. Because if we go back to 2017, the Astros weren't going to win the World Series until they got Justin Verlander and everything changed. It could be that way for another team this year. We'll wait and see. But that's my nuanced response to that question. If I was working for Big ESPN, I'd just say the Rays. The Rays won the World Series. I haven't watched an inning of Rays baseball this year, but I remember they started off like 13-0, whatever it was. So they're a win.
There you go.
That's my Stephen A. Smith take. The Rays will win the World Series, and Ohtani shouldn't play in L.A. and he should learn English. That's my Stephen A. Smith take.
That's your Stephen. That is not Dell.
That's not
Stephen
me.
A.
That's me being Stephen A. Smith without the impersonation, because I don't do impersonations. Sorry, John. But once again, thanks for calling us. Sean, who do you think is going to win the World Series?
Of course, you're Houston Astros.
There you go. Hey, that's my answer. That's what I started
well, it's unanimous.
Yeah, the Astros are winning. Ask the intern who he thinks is going to win. So we're just throwing out reckless speculation.
He says Astros.
All right. We got a consensus. The Astros
the whole panel.
The Astros are going back to back. There you go. 2022 champions, 2023 champions. Everyone will be happy, except for the rest of the baseball who still hates Houston. Get over it, I would say. It's over. I want to talk about this before we go to break because it made me think of the worst things. Sam Hartman, who was the Wake Forest quarterback, now is Notre Dame quarterback, is going to be their starter for Marcus Freeman in his second year. Is going to put his removed rib and turn it into a necklace. He's already had the rib removed. It was a surgery that was really serious for him before, I think, last season. He came back, played really well, and Wake Forest had a pretty good year. But he had his rib removed, and he wants to put it around his neck. Now, when I heard rib removal, I thought to myself, all the things I heard about in high school about what you would do if you had your rib removed. I'm not going to say those things because everyone in Florida knows I'm doing the show, and by Florida I mean my family, so I'm not going to say what I'm thinking. But you all can guess what I'm thinking. And apparently, no, it's for a necklace. But that's not what I thought when I read it. I thought, are we just going to ignore why Sam Hartman is going to remove his rib? But apparently it was already removed. He wants to commemorate surviving that injury and that surgery. But, man.
I saw he was on ESPN, like on SportsCenter, talking about it. And, like, the underneath thing was, like, Sam Hartman had his rib removed, plans to, like, make it a necklace or whatever. And he was talking with one of the, like, very – no, they're not – that serious, but the ESPN like SportsCenter anchors that like they definitely wouldn't ask the like so now that you have a rib removed, what's the first thing you want to do without a rib?
You better not come on the Paul Gallant show of Del Lalea filling in because I would ask that question. Sam, I know you're very accomplished. You have an NFL future ahead of you.
Going to Notre Dame, you're going to a Notre very Dame. Prestigious academic institution,
and Wake Forest ain't so bad itself as far as education. But let's be honest, why are you removing that rib? Come on, man. A necklace? Sure.
Are there any other bonuses?
Other benefits for removing that rib? Yeah, good call. Doing it on a major network like them where they wouldn't ask that question. I may not ask it, but I'd be thinking it the entire time. So Sam Hartman, a really good player. Notre Dame got themselves a really good quarterback. He fits the mold of what normally Notre Dame quarterbacks look like and how they play, but he's better. Like, he's right in that mold of all the guys that came before, like Tommy Rees. You think about them and go, probably not supremely talented. An NFL career, likely not in his future as far as a high draft pick. And we'll see how that offense fit. Wake Forest had a really, really unique offense where they held that mesh point for like what felt like 6 seconds. Let the running back get into behind the guard, and then either Sam Hartman will pull when you look at the linebackers or safety and what they're doing and throw like a slant behind the linebacker or give it to the running back. The Notre Dame offense will be a more traditional spread type offense. Call it a power spread if you like. They don't have great wide receivers, so it probably won't be so explosive, but they do have an accomplished quarterback. We'll see what Notre Dame is. I hope they're terrible because I always hope Notre Dame's terrible.
He does seem like a very collegey quarterback, very collegey quarterback.
It feels like,
it's interesting how it goes from that, I don't want to call it a Mickey Mouse offense, but the like weird, it's a... Wake Forest is the only team that runs that offense.
Yes.
And so how he transitioned to a more normal offense is very interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see Notre Dame with a good quarterback, but a more traditional offense and how he navigates playing in a different style. They'll be fine. I hope they're not. I hope they're terrible. It'd be great if they stink, because why root for Notre Dame when you don't have to? We are close to a break. Sean's answering the phone, so I don't want to put him under a lot of pressure. I know that producer thing where you got one hand on the phone and one hand trying to take the show to break. So once he's done, we'll get out of here. But Sam Hartman at Notre Dame, that's one of the names to know. If you're getting ramped up for college football season, you're trying to figure out who's where with the transfer portal. I'm not going to get into the good and bad of the transfer portal because, frankly, I don't care. Let the players do what they want. I'm good with that. I don't really care about coaches whining. I don't care about them getting poached. It happens to everyone. Get over it. But Sam Hartman at Notre Dame, we'll see how they do.
So the call that we just had, and thank you for being considerate about how many arms I have.
I feel that.
Yeah, you understand.
I understand.
You've literally probably been in this chair before.
Yes.
The call was about Cher, the singer, getting her rib removed to appear skinnier.
Well, that's a really dumb Hollywood thing you have to do. It seems ridiculous. And the question is, how old was she when she did it? Was she like 35-year-old Cher where it still mattered?
Was it trying to break into Hollywood, or was she trying to extend her prime?
Yeah, she was like 20 and hanging out with Sonny, and that's why she did it. I get it. But if she was like 40 and famous Cher, what are you doing? No one cares, Cher. No one cares. Stop it. It'd be like, I'm going to bring this up later. It'd be like Shakira at 45 going, you know what? I need to stick it out. I'm going to remove my ribs. Shakira, you've done all the hips don't lie we need from you. You're good. If you want to hang out with a certain NBA star who plays for the Miami Heat, I'm leading into that a little bit later. You can do that and not remove your rib. And it's going to be part of our either or. Because that was a topic. Championships or money. I got a different either or we'll get to. We didn't get to the 10-minute drill thing that Paul has.
We'll save that for next time.
I like to make fun of it. So if it has to be a short one, that's fine. Just explain the rules to me at least, and we'll see if we do it. We'll do that a little bit later. The Paul Gallant Show without Paul. He's off doing something no one cares about, really. And we'll be back.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
I'm not surprised he let that information be out there. Like, he told people, where the hell is Shorecrest anyway? Is that in Massachusetts?
No, it's a private school in Florida.
Oh, okay. Shorecrest Preparatory School, All-District Safety. For what? 8-man football? who was he playing against?
You know what?
A preparatory school? He couldn't have been playing against real dudes.
In all the war stories that he's told about, Florida high school football, he never does specify how many. Paul never specifies how many players are on the field.
Or
this really could be 6-man football. Or something.
I'm looking at Shorecrest.
It has to be like the equivalent of like 1A.
Yeah, and how many people actually go to the school? Like, this senior class seems really, really small. Doesn't look like they're not. You know, like, Paul ain't seeing Miami Central or anything. He's not seeing St. Thomas Aquinas. Stop it. Like, we need context. If he's going to talk about the fact that he was all district, whatever the hell it is, whatever Spencer said, I need context. Were there flags? Did you have to put on a helmet?
What? Pads.
I'm not gonna let that slide. Sean, I'm a little ashamed that you – I'm a little upset that you didn't find out all of the context that goes into who he was playing against. Was it co-ed?
The problem is that this is before I could just look him up on like Huddle or something.
Yeah, that's how long ago it was. Yeah, if he had highlights or anything. Yeah, I'm sure Paul has a highlight tape somewhere.
Yeah.
Not published online, but I'm sure he has it someplace.
Yeah, what song would his highlight tape be set to? Like, very, like, 2004 song it would be set to.
I'm just going to assume the Dropkick Murphys are involved. I'm just assuming. Dun, 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 dun. I'm sure he's running. I'm sure he's trucking some 14-year-old kid in 1A football, and that song's being played in the background.
Some kid who's, like, Rodrigo Blankenship wearing glasses underneath his helmet.
Kid who had they pull out a band so they could get 8 guys on the field. I'm sure that's how that went. But Paul was all district, whatever the hell it is, but he just won't tell us who he played against or how many people were on the field. Let's stick with football a little bit. This isn't even really football because it happened off the field. And all the Northwestern stuff, the firing of Pat Fitzgerald, and now the baseball coach is gone too, involved in bullying. So apparently Northwestern, you get recruited Northwestern, you get to be a bully. And I'm not interested in the ins and outs of why a guy got fired. Like, Danny Cannell rushed on Twitter and saying, it's easy to fire a guy now, and he knows Pat Fitzgerald's always heard his good things, as if he hasn't learned his lesson from jumping into the breach and being the guy to defend someone before all the information is out. Just relax, man. No one's looking for you to defend Pat Fitzgerald. Pat Fitzgerald doesn't care that you're out there playing Captain Save-A. Ho for Pat Fitzgerald. He don't care. He already got it. He still gets his money and he got fired. He ain't looking for you to save him. But that was Danny Cannell. I'm more interested in how you become a bully. Like, apparently this is a tradition. It's been going on for years. I put tradition in quotes. hazing as their tradition. So at least one senior class did this, and then another class started it. So you can't be like, can you be the guy, the first guy, and just jump out there with it? Hey, guys, we're going to do this car wash thing where we get guys naked and get them in the shower and have them spin around and see if they touch another naked person. You can't be the guy who goes, hey, this is my idea. You got to get like a council of hazing to get guys to agree. Because if you're the first person to step out there and everyone's looking at you, what do you want us to do? You want us to car wash freshmen? Why? What's the point? Oh, for team camaraderie. How does that bring us closer together? Like, you can't be it can't be one person who tells the class or tells the locker room. You got to get three or four guys together, and they all say, this is what we're going to do.
It feels like something you also have to, like, start with a small idea and then build on it.
It can't be get guys naked and force them in the shower.
You can't come up like, all right, first idea for team camaraderie. Everyone get naked.
Yeah.
Let's go
to
the showers.
Well, not everyone. We're gonna haze the freshies. We're going to get them naked and have them spin around in the shower, see if they touch other naked guys. That can't be the first step. This had to build, right? You're right. That's a good point. It cannot have been flames immediately. It had to be, hey, maybe we tape them to a, like in those old movies, maybe we take them to the football post or goal post, or maybe we do something to their clothing or force them to run around the quad or whatever. It can't be this pseudo-sexual hazing thing immediately. You're not going to get many takers. You're right.
No, it's a tough sell.
Yeah.
Because if you're one of the other seniors and you're inventing this hazing ritual, because it makes more sense, because you always think of hazing as it started way back and it gets passed down the class and from freshman class to freshman class. And, you know, it builds on itself. But the first this is like new to like come out with it. It does seem like very hard to like, like brainstorm.
You
like,
can't be the innovator.
Yeah.
I don't – who's the
Da Vinci of
the
of
Pablo
hazing?
Picasso of hazing, where we get guys naked in the shower, we spin them around and see – and then we'll add the dry humping thing to it too. What? I would be the worst guy to be – because I've been selected for – like if you live in Galveston County, you have to go down to jury duty. And it's probably like this everywhere. You're in a large pool and they say your name. They send you to a smaller pool and then the lawyers decide if you're going to be on the jury or not. And I was once told, hey, if you ask questions, prosecutors don't like inquisitive jurors. So I kept asking questions. I'd be the guy in the locker room when this theory gets brought up or this particular way of hazing gets brought up. Why are we doing this again? How does this make me closer to the freshman out of Wilmette, Chicago, to get him naked? How does that make us a better football team? Are you sure we should be doing this? I'd ask so many questions. I'd end it immediately because, oh, Dell's asking so many questions. We can't have him involved. He's going to tell. I probably would tell because I don't want to be involved in car washing. I already told Howard I'm like intermingled leg hair. I'm certainly not going to be one of the guys standing in the shower while the naked freshies are spinning around. The anatomy of hazing is so weird to me because there's not one person who goes, are we sure? Are we sure we should be dry humping a freshman?
Yeah. Yeah, because it makes sense if it's like, well, you know, or it doesn't make sense, but it's excusable or like it, I know it does make like logical sense of, well, it happened to me as a freshman. Now it's my time to get
hurt,
back.
Hurt people, hurt people. Is what you're saying?
Now it's my time to be on top. Yeah. Sometimes literally.
Ugh. I'd ask the transfer portal would have been. I would have hit that transfer portal immediately. What are we doing here? In 2017, it would have been a little tough. I would have to sit out a year. Or I could tell the administration, let's find a way for me to play immediately because you want me to tell? Because it's weird in this locker room right now. I'm not going to get involved. Just let me out. Look, Pat Fitzgerald gone, the baseball coach gone, whatever. I just got to feel like the innovator for car washing and dry humping in the Northwestern locker room was either brave or he had a hazing council with them that said, hey, man, we'll sell this. We'll get a couple nominations out there, and we'll go, this is what we're going to do. We're going to back you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and it has to be a committee, so there's no, like, names and faces. No one person has to put their name on, like, I want to dry hump. Like, no one has to
plausible deniability. Because if you're the guy who has decided that we're going to have freshmen get naked and spin around in the shower and hopefully touch other naked dudes, some questions for you about how you want to build a team. And Pat Fitzgerald is the one who pays for it. But the guy who thought it up, or the guys who thought it up, they need to be identified, because that's not a tradition. It is a tradition unlike any other, like the Masters. But I don't think Jim Nantz is going to say that.
An emphasis on unlike any other.
Unlike any other that I've ever seen. I didn't play at that level, obviously, but I played high school football. And I can't think of one guy in that locker room who decided that was a good idea and had someone back him. Like, there isn't anyone in our yearbook voted most likely to initiate a pseudo-sexual hazing ritual with his picture in the yearbook. There's no one I could think of. Thankfully, avoided that bomb. Wow.
Yeah. We went to different high schools.
Hey, he goes, Sean, I got guys in my head.
Yeah.
I don't know if they
first
did it.
First team, second team, all
all hazing.
All hazing.
He goes, I don't know if they did it, but I could see them doing it. Yeah, we didn't go. Look, I went to high school back when being called gay was like the worst thing possible. Like back in the early 2000s or mid. And it was like, you get called gay. Like it was that thing where the NBA said, don't say gay, because it's not an insult. Back then when I went, it was definitely an insult, because that's just what high school kids did. And yeah, I don't know if anyone would have. And like what Northwestern doing wasn't gay acts. I don't even know what they were doing, but it wasn't a gay thing. It was like, hey, we're just going to do weird stuff and try to make people uncomfortable and abuse them. But yeah, not a chance, man. Not a chance in high school, because I can't think of a guy who would have done it, just because it's a little weird, man. It's a little weird. And apparently not at Northwestern, because bullying is a thing at Northwestern, and it's cost two coaches their jobs. The baseball coach got fired yesterday. So a lot of changes at Northwestern. I imagine it'll go higher up. I don't think you fire the baseball coach and football coach and the administration, at least some members, survive. Odd situation. Hopefully for the people who were affected, some guy's in therapy, says he's still in therapy from it. They find some solace and peace with some people being held responsible, but just weird all around. And now we transition to Texas football. Sorry, Sean. I don't know how to transition out of that into getting to talk about actual events on the field. But we'll talk about more college football in a less scandalous way, as the Texas Longhorns went through their Big 12 media day, as the rest of the Big 12 did. And Sean's going to provide the four players most important to Texas football, not name yours, Worthy, or Sark, because those three would be too easy. We'll talk about that on the other side. We'll be back.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.